Hey, everybody. Welcome back. My name is Dr. Lucan. As always, I'm here with Timothy Meyer. And we are Zeitgeist Off the Couch.
Yep.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That is our name. And today we're going to do something very different. Hopefully you guys enjoy. We're going to talk a little bit about, some of you know, we do have a YouTube channel, which we post some tips, some demos, just interesting conversations about clinical stuff in general. Mm-hmm. And today, what Tim and I thought were pretty funny, we just take a look at some of the comments. We really haven't seen these before, but we're going to have some on the screen, and Tim and I are going to have our reactions to what that's going to be like. And since we have a good amount of videos, I'm kind of thinking there might be a bunch of different ways people digest some of the information. So here we go, and this is kind of what we're going to be doing today.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Dude's upper body just cured my PTSD. Well, good. But seriously, I can't recommend EMDR and CBT enough. If you suffer PTSD, OCD, or depression, it helps a lot. Well, well, you're welcome.
All right. So how about you respond to the first sentence? I could respond to the second sort of clinical info.
I'm glad my upper body could be of service, I guess. I do have to say, I some of the most uncomfortable feelings.
Right.
It's like stuff like this.
Right,
I'm just
right,
like,
right.
Ugh. You know, because I could put you in a weird spot, but
for sure. I mean, I can't relate, so I don't know. But I would imagine that's something like, you know, you're trying to be a clinician, sort of, you know, do your clinical magic, and you also take care of yourself, which I think is a great asset. Something that we talked about at a previous podcast. So
yeah.
It's a funny way to respond to that, and sort of the next couple of sentences. Yeah, it does for a lot of these things. EMDR does really work. So I'm glad that it sounds like yourself or somebody else benefited from this treatment.
From both my upper body and the treatment.
Exactly. Good. So it's a double win. I think that's what it is.
All right, cool. Let's see.
I came here to learn more about EMDR, stayed for the muscles and laughed at the comments. Cured.
Okay, I guess a win-win.
I think there's a theme. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they learned more about EMDR.
And the idea about being cured, I think that's pretty cool as well.
There you go. And whatever, man. I guess like if that's what we need to do to spread more insight about EMDR and awareness, then
you know what we should do. I like these comments. What we should do is develop a research study up chest and muscles and the correlation to treatment of PTSD. I think I'm getting an idea reading these.
Well, honestly, I mean, if you think about, so EMDR, you're doing this so much. So like the whole upper body development is really just about.
So there you go. Wow. You should switch, you know, so that you don't only work on one. Exactly. So it's even.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've never done it with my left, actually, but like I'm a pro at my right.
So there you go. So I think that's what it's getting you to do, is to make sure that you're balanced in your EMDR exercises. That's what we should call it too.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
All right, let's do the next one.
Okay.
I could not heal from anything with this man. I'm constantly trying to pull my mind out of the gutter.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I'm assuming it's about me.
It has to be.
So it's obviously about me. Thank you. But yeah, so there you go. So that I mean, I don't think we have time today, but I think it does sort of present an interesting topic just in general. If the therapist is, you know, let's say objectively good looking, be it male, female, how does that impact treatment? Because, everyone's human.
Yep.
Right? I'm sure this is not the first time something like that comes up. I'm wondering, you know, how that presents itself. Is that talked about? That's a cool other podcast to do.
It is, right? And, you know, we could do a whole thing on transference. Right?
That would be really great.
That's what we're talking about here, like the client's thoughts and feelings about the therapist, right?
Right.
And like, yeah, it comes up because like we're people, right. You know, and loads of transference happens, thoughts,
for
feelings,
sure.
et cetera.
For sure.
And that definitely is a piece sometimes.
I'm sure. I have to also think about countertransference. Like, what if it's like reversed?
Yeah.
You know?
Countertransference, by the way, is transference is the client's thoughts and feelings, most sometimes unconscious, about the therapist. And then countertransference is just the opposite, right? So really, it's important for therapists to be really mindful and aware of their countertransference and analyze the transference and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, this really speaks right to it. And it comes up sometimes.
I'm sure it does. So I'm sure we'll just put that in the back burner and maybe do one of these podcasts exactly about that. Because you talk about mind in the gutter. I'm sure that's not the first time that comes up just in general. So it'd be interesting to unpack that a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. What else do we got?
Transference.
I just want to say, please make more cleaning. Again, obviously about me. I'm happy to do more. I'm right there with you. But you have. But you know, you make a wish and we do more. Tim, you've done a lot more of these.
Literally, here we are right now, and right.
So there you go.
So there you go.
Wish answered.
I don't know if you could tell. I'm trying to keep it cool right now.
Yeah.
Right, let's see. If he's my therapist, our therapeutic relationship would soon become one-sided romance. Basically speaks right to that whole transference.
Exactly.
Conversation before.
Exactly. So it sounds like it's really a thing that's coming up for people. So I'm wondering if we should do one of these on that exactly, because that's so true.
I mean, it is a thing, and people don't really talk about it much. I mean, like we speak about it, and like, you know, in consultation and supervision and that sort of stuff, you talk about transference all the time. But yeah, we should probably we really should do a
one on that
one on this because
even this idea, I mean, it's a funny comment, and obviously, you know, focuses on romance, but it could in a way, if this is true, get really in the way of clinical treatment, of improvement, you know, as an extra block, how the client wants to present him or her in front of the therapist. There's romantic feelings. It's just a whole host of things that can come up that can interfere with treatment outcome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, wow. Okay.
And it is a really common thing, too. People, quote unquote, like fall in love with their therapists all the time.
Right.
Right? Because they're, you know, this empathic person who's there for them and takes care of them and holds space for them and you know, takes care of them and all that sort of stuff. It is kind of normal and natural for feelings to,
for sure,
you know. I don't know if this is about my empathy here. It might be about
that doesn't sound like it, but you know, who knows, maybe that's kind of what it is.
Okay, all right, on to the next one. Here next. We go. I'm here to help myself with my own trauma, and this dude is wearing a shirt that fits him like an undercover Superman.
But I thought, wait a second. That's not true. I thought you don't have that. Oh, well, you've been fooling me for years. I always thought you had the Superman.
If I had a dollar or a nickel for every time. Yeah, I get it a lot.
We should probably do one like this. Oh, should play the theme song. That would be great. We should do that. We should start a podcast just with that theme.
And what's the funniest is that you know that I kind of hate it, or like it makes me kind of like
right. Ugh. Well, I remember the first time at our holiday party. I remember years ago at the house, right? Like, I don't know how it came up. I was like, but you know, people say this, right? He goes like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. So running joke here is that like anytime that we meet new people, like that's like it normally comes up like, oh my God, you look just like Clark Kent. And I'm like, oh yeah, no. And constantly you eat it up. Like as soon as it happens, you just like start cracking up and you watch me squirm a little bit.
Yeah. And it's just funny because some people just, they're not like, oh, haha, obviously. They're kind of like almost like checking in about it. Like, you know, like Tim looks like Clark Kent, right? I was like, yeah, I think everybody knows that this is not a secret.
It's like not really a secret. Yeah, and I know that you love that. Like you eat it up. You just love to watch me like.
It's just, I mean, because it's you know, not funny, but it's just because it is a running joke. And sometimes when people say it for the first time, it's funny just because almost like how they present it.
Yep.
They're sometimes tentative about it. Sometimes they're just like, well, yeah, obviously he looks like that. Or like, oh my, like shock. Oh my God, Tim looks like Superman. Like it's just so many different ways. It's just very, it's very funny. So yeah, that is not an uncommon thing that comes up.
All right, let's see the next one. That's perfect.
Oh, that weird moment where Lex interviews Clark Kent. Yeah, I mean, this person deserves something because that is super clever.
We need to like find them and send them something because that is an all-time top comment.
That is by far one of the best ones I've ever. Just not only at our YouTube, just in general. It's so clever. It's so funny. Holy moly.
Sometimes the comments are gold.
This is, yes. Wow. Okay. This is really, I don't even know how to respond. It is just so perfect. It is just so perfect.
I might start calling you Lex.
I think you should. I think we should have a running joke.
Let's get to the mean ones soon before my head gets too big.
Yeah, this is, oh my God, that's a good one.
Let's see.
Oh, okay.
All right.
With appearance, we should quite lovely, mind you, but I'm a tense suspicious of someone this fashion forward, which means I should be suspicious of myself. Okay, now that I've thought this through in the third. Sharp and no therapist I've ever seen has been any use to me, so this guy seems perfect.
She's all in. Oh. Or they're all in.
When MDR is a lifesaver, I found the one all by myself, and it has been the only therapy that has been useful for my tooth. Oh, okay. So kind of it started, I didn't know how it started. I don't know if it was going to be a criticism or I guess it's, I don't know what your thoughts are. So it's a little, you're too concerned about your appearance, which is lovely, and then EMDR is super helpful. So, cool. Well,
okay. I mean, I don't think I'm too concerned with my appearance. I mean, I wear the same thing every day.
Right. So, I mean, maybe but like okay, your physical forward, shape.
I've never heard of, being no one has ever told me that I'm fashion forward, which, so I'll take that.
Well, I would imagine maybe like, you know, your traditional therapist is like older and maybe like, the sweater is from maybe earlier.
Yeah.
Than current.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe the common thing that people see. So yeah. So it's a little bit of an ouchie, but also great. Thank you. And I'm glad EMDR is helpful. I don't know. Is that right?
Yeah. And I mean, really, I like the last part. I'm all in. Okay. Right. And EMDR is a lifesaver. Found that one all by myself. It's been the only therapy that's been useful to friends who are survivors of incest. So this blah, blah, blah. Good. Yeah. I mean, if I could speak a little bit more about EMDR, it's really powerful. And like, yeah, like upper body, my chest, like, right. but the fact that people are getting, you know, good stuff from EMDR, that just makes me so happy.
Right. Right. So, it's almost like you have to use dialectics here, like feeling uncomfortable and at the same time excited that EMDR works.
That's a really good way.
You know
to put
what
it.
I mean? It's kind of like, you know, we had one of those podcasts, but it's kind of like both.
Yep.
It's not one or the other. So yeah. Great. Okay.
All right. All right, unkind comments. All right. Wow. This is...
Okay. Wait. What about my urinary conflict, AMDR with CBT? Clearly knows nothing about psychotherapy. Talk about confusing. Francine would be mortified.
Okay.
Oh. It's nothing like CBT. The two who get different outcomes in research. Compared to CBT uses logic and rationalization. Okay. Does not involve behavioral experiments for homework. There are so many other differences. I've made my point already. Okay. Well, it sounds like this comment is about differentiation between EMDR and CBT, which, I mean, I agree in a way. Yes, CBT and EMDR, I mean, they're different. I there's many different things.
Yeah.
Like trauma-focused CBT, I guess, versus EMDR. If that's sort of where this is going, but prolonged exposure, let's say, right? CBT prolonged exposure is an element to EMDR. I mean, there's obviously additional things to it, but I don't know if this is the video we do talk about where I ask you that poignant question about like what are the meat and potatoes of EMDR and how is it different? Because sometimes potentially this individual is referring to that. There is still debate between prolonged exposure. Is it the actual ingredient that's helpful versus the actual kind of like the bilateral stimulation, right? It is out there. So if this is what it's getting to, yeah, that is very true. There's not everyone settled on that.
Yeah. And you know, you clearly know nothing about psychotherapy. No, I'm kidding. Right. So I think that part in that video, like really, I was talking about EMDR, and you were like you were like listening, taking it in, and you made a connection,
right?
And I believe, and like, don't quote me here because I haven't watched that video in a really long time, but yeah, I think that there are pieces that are quite similar. Are they totally different therapies? Of course, right? Does an EMDR session or EMDR psychotherapy look a lot like CBT? No, like not one bit. Right. But I would say that there are pieces or components when you look into them where one person might find themselves like, oh, like that's kind of like how in CBT, right. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So definitely similarities. I would say that they're more different than similar, but I'm pretty sure in that piece of that video, like we just kind of like, oh, like kind of like how in CBT, when.
Yeah.
And that's really it, so.
Okay, you know. Well, listen, this it brings up a good point in a way that they are different, so.
Yeah.
Cool, all right.
This video needs a re-recording with better microphones. The sound is not particularly professional and it's coming across as being noisy.
True. I think this is one of our, when we started doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, that's why we're here.
And like, hopefully we're sounding better literally right now.
As we're talking about these things. So yeah, that's a really good point. Another one that I don't know if we're going to be seeing, another one that comes up is that there's music that's playing in the background when, I know I've done one CBT one. I think there's one when we talk about EMDR or something like that. So that is a common theme sometimes I see too when I see these.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Good feedback, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll call it that.
Garrett comes
guys, I'm just the camera pants, there. The constant clearing his throat. The constant yeah and
Okay. I get that. That those are great. That's great feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Noted and thanks for the tips. Yeah.
Sure. Good points.
Appreciate you. As a former healthcare practitioner, I'm sorry, but I can't condone this form of therapy. Oh, here we go.
Oh, this is pseudoscience.
This is pseudoscience at its best, but since it's been marketed so well and people provide anecdotal evidence, its popularity has swooned. If you can't even explain the science behind how it could possibly work, then I'm not going to take it very seriously. I also find amazing reading through the entire comment section. I can't even find one comment of someone doubting, questioning this therapy or relaying a story of it not working from them. Seems that any negative comment is being removed.
I mean, I have an issue with the last one. I guess that's not even possible.
Yeah.
So that's so we don't do that because I don't know if YouTube even allows that. But we definitely have never taken any doubt. So I mean, what do you think? I think this is referring to the EMDR piece.
Yeah. So well, I mean, listen, I'm going to be honest here. When I was being trained in EMDR, I was like, yeah, right.
Right.
I was like, there's no way.
Right.
That, you know, blah, 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 the whole therapy, watch the video, you understand. So I get that thought,
right?
Like I when I bring it up to people are like, what are you talking about? Like, this seems not like nonsense.
Right.
So I totally get that. But no, right. So many, it's an evidence-based therapy. There are loads of randomized clinical trials that show that it's really effective, and all of that sort of stuff. I send people to the MDRIA website a lot, because like that's where you can read like all the studies and look into all the research and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're just two guys that are kind of just talking about it,
right?
But really, like if you want to look at the data and the science from, you know, the horse's mouth, like really, and mdria.org.
Okay.
And,
that's good.
And that's where you can actually see.
And how do you spell that?
EMDRIA, EMDR International Association,
.org. Okay. Just for anybody.
So I would just, I would direct people there.
Yeah.
But,
no,
but
sure.
I get where they're coming from.
Yeah. And I think the popularity thing, I mean, I don't know about maybe anecdotal evidence for sure, maybe some research, but also, you know, it is in a way true that the popularity has skyrocketed because a lot of people, you know, famous people Mm-hmm. Have tried it and said it was successful. So a lot of people, that is very true. We have seen an increase in calls. That's why even at the practice, we have like 6 clinicians that do it, because there is an increase in people wanting it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So some things have become more popular. Yeah. I mean, other treatments, just not as popular, at least at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good point.
This is paganism. We're not good, and it's okay to not be good. We're all sinners. In need of a savior. This is excluding Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sin.
Proceed for these people. This is me. Okay. I don't know if it's paganism, but it's void of any religious overtones. That is very true. So mm-hmm. any treatment typically, except there's like Christian counseling. So yeah. I've heard of that. So that maybe that there's that kind of overtone to it. But just, yeah, overall, I mean, I think this person really brings up the point. A lot of the people in, I don't know if that's really true, but I don't often hear how religion is being infused in treatment. So if you look at evidence-based treatments, like, you know, all the acronyms that you hear, cognitive mm-hmm. behavioral, EMDR, whatever, dialectical behavior therapy, there's no reference to a deity.
Yeah.
Maybe DBT kind of comes closer, like mindfulness. CBT does come close to like being aware and mindful, but like you can call it in a clinical term, like attention span or being aware. Like you don't really need to introduce religious ideology, but you know, so I don't know if you have any other thoughts on that.
Not much.
Right. I do like we're not good and it's okay not to be good, because that sort of talks about acceptance of like you don't always have to feel good or be perfect. Like it's okay to be not okay. Yeah, because a lot of people are not embracing that. They criticize themselves for not being good. So I think that's a point I could relate with.
So maybe we should take we're not good and it's okay not to be good.
Right.
And like copy it and paste that
right.
as a reply to all the mean comments.
Yeah.
we're not good and it's okay not to be good.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be good. All right.
All right. Let's see what... This therapy damaged my family beyond repair. Brought out false memories, traumatized me and my wife, my son's wife, recently licensed in this hypnotism. False memories, accusations, horrible nightmare.
I mean, first of all, that's very unfortunate. I guess, especially with the hypnotism, I mean, I could see if somebody has maybe like a negative intention, they could, you know, use that to come up with some accusations. If there's an intentionality behind it.
Yeah.
And say like, oh, hypnotism or EMDR is the thing that caused these unconscious or untrue, I should say, memories to come up. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are. I think there has to be an intentionality of using the therapy for someone's overall, like what they want to get.
Yeah.
Or presenting it in a way, but...
Well, I mean, here's my best guess at, you know, the backstory behind this one. EMDR is, we go in there and we go back there and we, you know, the whole thing, again, watch the EMDR video, but the whole thing is go with it, right? So your mind kind of goes like wherever it goes. And a lot of times we end up remembering or some different things kind of resurface and...
Right.
And a lot of times in an EMDR session, we're kind of going places where you really didn't expect to go.
Right.
So my bet is that, you know, somebody was in EMDR and sort of quote unquote uncovered some memories and all that sort of stuff that really changed a big family dynamic.
Right. But I do get a sense, like, I mean, I hear that sometimes something does get uncovered, but I also do hear kind of, as I mentioned, like people can have an intention, oh, I'm going to use this to hurt somebody with an accusation and say like, oh, I uncovered something, but they know it's not true.
It could.
Like you could, I mean, like you could use anything for that, but I'm it saying could. Like you could use therapy as a vehicle for that, I think.
Technically. I don't think that's the reason why the therapy was created. It's created to help people.
Right.
But, okay. I'm sorry to hear about that awful experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I think that is it. Wow. Okay. So I think do you have any takeaways from the?
You know, this? it's just interesting. I've never heard anybody. Well, hold on. It's just interesting how thoughts and feelings come out so much more
readily.
In the YouTube section of in the comments section of YouTube.
Right.
I don't know. I've never really heard any of these sorts of things before.
In person.
In person, people aren't like blowing smoke up my butt, telling me about my body and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know. I guess whether it's like the good or the bad or the whatever you want to call it that people wouldn't normally say, hey, they come out in the comments.
Right. For sure. My takeaways are it seems like we need better audio. Check.
Better audio. Okay. Yeah.
Being a better interviewer. Check. The only things that I'm seeing, you need to gain weight.
Yeah, I need to.
And dress less fashion forward.
Uh-huh.
Maybe change the haircut too and take off the glasses. I think that's what I'm getting. And the other, you know, the other ones about EMDR, you know, potentially it's not for everybody, but there's a good amount of evidence to suggest that it does work. But this idea about prolonged exposure versus EMDR, it is unsettled. So somebody made that comment. So I think that's a good point to make.
Yeah. The comments are interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And as we put out more YouTube videos, we'll see kind of where it goes.
This is fun though.
This is pretty good.
This is good.
We need like a Lewis Lane lookalike, I guess. Also, as a therapist, and then we'd really be all set. Yeah. I gotta look into like Lex. So which one, like Gene Hackman or Kevin Spacey? Probably. I don't even know.
We gotta pull up like pictures and
I think was
and get a whole look going.
Was Gene Hackman, was he bold in that? Because I know Kevin Spacey for sure.
Yes.
But I don't really remember.
I don't know. We gotta look into that.
I gotta look at the picture.
Oh, and hell, next year Halloween.
Ooh. I mean, I always dress as Mr. Clean though, so I don't know.
Do you actually?
I do. I've dressed up like that twice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and for one of our New Year's Eve parties, I dressed up. So I don't know, I gotta think that through. But all right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, guys.